Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
And here's what's happening Tuesday, November 13th, on this episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I am Brady Wright, hot rod, rat rod builder and welding student with master mechanic and metal butcher Shane Osborne here as usual. Hi,
hello.
Buddy. Hello. And Steve, the producer, Johan, the guy who knows all the words to the Pirates of Penzance. Every single word he knows, he is the very model of a modern major general. Back to the blacktop is first. But first, before we go back to the blacktop, Steve, you got something special?
Yes, I do. So hang on.
A moment of silence.
Yes, indeed. We want to take a moment here to just remind everybody that Stan Lee, the man who created Spider-Man, passed away yesterday. 95 years of age. Isn't that amazing, guys?
Yeah, pretty amazing. I mean, you know, it's true. I mean, a moment of silence doesn't even do the guy justice. 95 years old, he literally is responsible, in my personal case, for decades of dreams and entertainment.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know,
without doubt.
You kind of know it's coming as 95 years old, but still, you know, what an amazing legacy of work.
I mean, it is.
We're a bunch of generations in this room, and he touched all of us.
Yeah. Every one of us. And I remember as a kid watching that very TV show. I actually got the DVD set of the 60s cartoon series at home, and my kids and I watched it. I can't tell you how many times
we watched
it.
Not only that, but when I hear that song, that specific one, this is how far-reaching his stuff was. What I hear when I hear that song is I hear Homer Simpson doing the spider pig thing. Spider pig does whatever a spider pig does. And The Simpsons has been on for 26 years.
Yeah.
A long time.
Wow.
And they were influenced by Stan Lee.
Yes, they were.
The guy went everywhere.
He did.
On the net, by the way, there's a retrospective, two or three of them, of all of his cameos from all of the Marvels, in order. It's like hilarious because, you know, he was always in there someplace in there. Funny stuff.
Well, and he really came to prominence with a new generation when the movies started happening. I mean, the big blockbuster movies that he had anything to do with it, he always did a cameo appearance.
Sure.
But that's where Marvel really got put on the map for the new generation. Us kids, when we were kids, it was comic books. That's it. And then cartoon on
comic
TV.
Books.
Yeah. And that was it. But then the revival of comics in the 90s really kicked things off.
Oh, yeah.
It really became the thing. I mean, Batman.
Hollywood ran out of ideas. They went back to him because he had a whole bunch of great stuff.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, X-Men
everything. You know what the first Marvel hero movie was? It didn't get a lot of press about being that, but it was.
Green Lantern?
No. Hmm. Oh, it goes way back beyond that.
Way beyond that.
Nobody ever gets
what
it.
I'll
tell you what it is. Blade.
Oh, yeah.
Blade was first.
Wow.
And they didn't make a big deal out of it being a Marvel movie or a Marvel character because it was just going to be a Wesley Snipes vehicle.
They had three of them.
Yeah.
Blade, Return of Blade, Son of Blade.
Yeah, Blade.
I've got them all at home.
Blade Kills Again.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Kind of like Death Wish 1 and 2 and 3.
Johnny Trejo. It was a movie that sort of stood on its own.
Right.
And it worked as a sci-fi.
I didn't even know
thing.
That it was part of the Marvel universe.
And it kept waiting for them to bring Blade somehow into one of the later movies.
Right.
Of course, you know, Wesley Snipes had his own issues and stuff, so for a while he wasn't available, but now he's back. Apparently everything's okay now.
We're all good now.
Yeah.
Well, I just find, you know, we're really into cars and we're into pop culture on here, and in a month we're going to have an author that did up a 50th anniversary of the Hot Wheels, and boy, I'm telling you what, Hot Wheels came out in 68. I was watching this in 67. And 69, 70. I was like the killer kid time for me as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And the Hot Wheels, the Spider-Man, it all went together. I mean, the memories are just so deep into my being.
This is a guy who will be missed.
He will.
The movies will continue, of course. The studio has got a life of its own. But, you know, you're going to miss his touch, I think, somehow along the line.
Hats off to him. And, you know, I came across a really interesting thing. I didn't even know this, guys. Did you know that GM has a individual company called Maven?
Say this again. They have a company?
GM has a sub-company called Maven.
What
have you ever
do?
Heard of it? It's a ride-sharing company.
Oh, I know these guys. Yes, yes, yes. I wouldn't have put it together from that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But
I have heard of them. I don't know them well, but I've
well,
heard of
it's
them.
Primarily ride-sharing with GM, Buick, Cadillac, all that
right.
kind of related. Well, now, coming up this next year, they are actually going to add whatever car the owners want. As part of an expansion of this thing.
I want the new GTO.
Yeah, me too. I'll give people rides around town.
That's what I want.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting.
You still get four in there, right?
There's currently 170,000 members. It hopes to grow because it wants to increase its membership by saying, okay, if you have a Hyundai, you have a BMW, you can go ahead and be part of our rideshare group. And so
when you say rideshare, what
it's
I,
actually
what
services.
I think this is.
It's
so
a van,
when you,
right?
No, it's... It's a ride share, so like a house sharing when someone signs up.
Oh, so like B&B.
Yes. It's for cars. It's a B&B for cars.
So when I'm not driving my car, you drive it.
Yes.
Ah. So it's kind of like what Adam Kramer is doing with Avant.
Yes.
It's very similar.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, and Adam's been on the show, of course, and he's got a lot of guys over there who are members who let you drive their, you know, Cobra
right.
or whatever it is they have. That's fascinating. Now that's coming back to my head. Now I remember it.
Yeah, it is. My question to you guys is, I've actually loaned my car out to friends for like a week or two or something when they needed a car. Would you feel comfortable letting someone rent your vehicle while you weren't driving it?
It would depend a lot on which vehicle and what kind of...
It has to be 20 and 15 and above for age. Can't be older.
A new car?
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would also depend on the contract. I mean, I'd want to see insurance and liability and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But under those conditions, let's assume all of that was satisfied. I guess. Why not? I mean, if they're responsible when they're driving it...
How about your house? Would you do a share... Let somebody come in your house and
stay
there for a
week?
Yeah,
not so much there. Too much personal.
Me too. Too many things there.
Well, I wouldn't because I have a dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's I'm not.
We did it with some friends, though. They came up. They stayed at our home. We stayed at theirs. It happened to be perfect.
That's a little different.
But they were friends.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Trusted.
Yeah,
although I know some of my relatives, I wouldn't let stay in my house.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, you know.
But I just thought this is very interesting, and I don't know if you guys have noticed, but have you noticed the price of gas has gone up?
Yes, I just filled up
this
morning
since the election.
Yes, I was at the state. Yeah. It was $70 plus for my van. Oh, the price just went up.
Yeah.
Well, according to AAA, it is a high and a 4-year high that we're going through.
Of course it is.
So, they still got the same amount of gas out
these
there.
These are first world problems,
charge.
People.
Yes, it
these
is.
These are first world problems.
Yes. And I did come across China's Zotye Automobile International has begun recruiting U.S. dealers and has charged two import industry veterans with the task of bringing a budget crossover to America in 2020. So, in
as long as they don't name it that, we're okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Zotye. I don't know.
Why?
See, there's a phonetic.
You can't use that.
Well,
that
you can.
Word. You can, but
there's
it's
a,
not going to
there's
work
a phonetic
well.
Guideline for how to pronounce, you know, Chinese, Mandarin, Cantonese, whichever. You know, using English characters, it really doesn't translate very well. But there is a guideline for it. It's just that nobody knows it. You know, so I'm very sorry if you are a native Chinese speaker.
Yes,
or you know, we
if
butcher.
If my friend Keith Wong was in here, he could do it correctly.
Yeah, we butcher these languages.
Yes,
because nobody knows the rules, and it's sad.
I just butcher them because that's what I do.
Well,
and it's not, and it's the name of the company.
And
so
you're
I
good at it, by
right.
golly.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
He
butchers everything he gets his hands on, so come on. And then, by the way, the new Bronco is not going to be a big, robust Bronco. Instead, it's going to be built on the powertrain of the Ford Escape.
Well, the Bronco was always a midsize.
Yeah. So
yeah,
they're going after the Jeep Renegade, the Subaru Crosstech, and the Toyota RAV4. That's kind of who they're going after with this
thing.
That'll
be
works good. For me.
Yep.
Hey, glad you have us a moment to spend with us. We got a trivia question coming up and a chat with Heather Nicky of the world-famous Scroungers Car Club coming up.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. It's time for the windshield view, and today we have a special guest.
We do, but you know, before we do the special guest, I have something that I have to admit to being faked out about.
Faked out?
Yes, yes. I put up a post on the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page.
Yeah.
It was a story about the new, soon to be unveiled 2019 GTO.
Uh huh.
There's a picture. It's got all kind of blue LEDs, and it looks really slick and everything like that. And it talked about the thing that's going to be coming out, and it's at the car shows and all that kind of stuff. And it turns out
it was a hoax.
Upon further investigation, it was a model.
Oh,
it wasn't a real car.
Oh, no.
And I do my best, folks. I do my best to try to, you know, research
right.
these things before, but this one got me. So when you read it, please be absolutely merciless and call me an idiot for posting that, because I certainly deserve it.
But we all know that we dream about
the
GTO
course.
Return.
Be happy to have it, and even if it's not a Pontiac.
Especially if it looks like a big goat.
Actually, the front end on the thing looked pretty cool.
Can you imagine like a redo of like a 70s? A 70?
Well, GTO. If Chrysler can do it with the Challenger and the Charger, then why wouldn't, GM? But so far, not yet. But, you know, we can dream.
Yes.
We can dream.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of dreams, there are probably hundreds, maybe even thousands of car clubs in the country. And some of them easily. Some of them are nothing more than four or five guys that hang around in their garage. And some of them are, Hollywood famous, like the Pharaohs, from American Graffiti. And, that's a big deal and still in existence today. And some of them are really big budget deals. And some of them are actually nationwide and, dare I even say, international.
Yeah.
And one of those is a club called the Scroungers. And we are very lucky to have on the show tonight Heather Nicky, who I think, Heather, can I spring the surprise of your recent election?
Sure.
Heather is calling, she's with us all the way from, you're in Kentucky, right?
Yes, sir.
Very nice. So earlier today, I think it was earlier today, you were elected nationwide VP of the Scroungers, the big organization. Is that correct?
I'm the worldwide
vice president.
Ladies and gentlemen. That's been my position for about, I think about 7 or 8 years now.
Did you get re-elected or something, or re-upped? Because I just saw the post on the Facebook
thing. Well, we constantly have new members coming in from all over the world. So we just like to keep reminding everyone.
Well, it was great.
There you go.
It looked very organized. Like, they were like, everybody said who they were and everything.
It's official. We mentioned it. She is really the
Absolutely.
Vice President.
Absolutely, you are.
Of
well, welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Russ. We're very glad to have you.
It's not just for boys.
No, of course not. Well, it shouldn't be. That's excellent. So we have tons and tons of questions, but I'd kind of like to know how, I mean, the Scroungers has been around for a long time, and I have a story about how I came up with them, but I'll save it for a little bit later. Where did the Scroungers start? How did you guys get started?
So actually, Scroungers started out as another car club here locally, in the Cincinnati-Dayton area.
Okay.
And they were called the Sunday Rodders. Guys got together to help each other out with their builds, cruise around on the weekends, like-minded buddies,
sure,
hanging out in the garage.
Like a lot of clubs.
Car parts. Exactly. Some of those guys kind of got older, drifted away, moved away. Long story short, things kind of settled on the other side of the pond, the river, the Ohio River, in Newport, Kentucky. And some of those guys got together and said, well, why are we called the Sin Days? You know, nobody's in Cincinnati, nobody's in Dayton.
Said,
well,
good point.
You know, we're always running around, and they would, you know, help each other out, and a whole bunch of guys would get in the car and go to the pull and save junkyards and get the parts and stuff. And somebody said, well, you know, we're always scrounging up parts to help somebody get their ride together so we can go out riding around. Why don't we call ourselves the Scroungers?
And the heavens opened
love
up
it.
And
love
the,
it.
The heavenly choir right. went, yeah, and it's the Scroungers. Yes. That's us. That's a great name.
So then we used to have a forum. People kind of got away from that side of the internet when Facebook exploded and
right.
more social media. And then everybody, kind of got on board with, hey, this is really kind of cool what you guys do, you know, a builder's club, a driving club, nobody really else, you know, is that kind of thing. You know, we go to car shows, but we don't necessarily, you know, do that all the time.
You don't live to go to car shows?
Right. We, we don't say you can't go, but what we like to do is we like to get out and actually cruise the roads, you know, see the back roads of where we live and stop in soda shops and antique malls and find old cars in the weeds and pull over and take pictures and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's, let's face it, the essence of hot rodding in the
it
first
is.
Place is,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. somebody's got a car, let's get together and help them build it, and while we're at it, let's take it out for a ride. I mean, you can't get any purer than that.
Well,
yeah,
I think...
So that's our deep-rooted, you know, foundation of the club.
You know, I think the whole idea of cruising in a car, especially for a lot of us, it growing up, that is part of the, I guess, the rite of life was to get a car and go cruising.
Sure.
And
then
you know,
tried to outlaw it.
What's that?
So then they have to go outlaw it.
Yeah, but even as a child, I would be in the car with my parents, and we'd go out for Sunday afternoon drives.
Oh yeah,
and
sure.
We would end up at end up someplace looking for something, find something, end up having a meal someplace, end up at a park. But it was just we're heading out. We're going to spend a couple hours out and about in the countryside, in your you know. And so that was something many of us grew up with.
Sure.
And it's neat to know that there's clubs like yourself that. It's not about just going to a show and parking, but you're actually out doing the same thing as adults. You're doing that, and
right.
Some people would say you never grew up.
Well, I think that's a good thing in this respect.
So, Heather, you obviously you started off, doing what you're doing there in the Cincinnati and then Kentucky area. So, how did you end up with more chapters? What did growth look like?
So it started, hey, we got a couple guys on the other side of the river. They're a little bit farther. They've got, 10 or 12 of their own guys. They're looking to do what we want to do. Who's opposed to letting them have their own chapter?
Right.
And then from Newport to Cincinnati, from Cincinnati to Louisville, Kentucky, from, Louisville to, hey, we got some guys down here in Tennessee to Georgia to Florida, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, this year, and a couple years ago, we were in Germany and Australia.
Very nice.
Yeah, so it exploded. We've got about 30 chapters worldwide.
Wow.
We're looking at about I think a little over right now. As of today, my last count was about 320 members.
Okay,
cool.
Within all the chapters. So some of them are kind of small, you know, and then we have, you know, nomads. Those are the people that are, can maybe be out a little too out far in the country or like in Australia. I mean, the whole size of that country is, you know, double the United States.
Oh, yeah.
States or whatever.
Been there, done that.
So,
yeah.
So just because you're in Australia doesn't mean you're, you know, one guy could live in the same territory, but he's like in Alaska and the other guy's in Texas, you know, but they're
yeah.
in the same territory.
Yeah.
So you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, quite so, a bit of yeah. distance.
Well, and we're going to be coming up to our break here soon, but when we come on the other side, I want to ask you about what does it mean to be a member and what are the benefits of being a member of the Scroungers Car Club?
And yeah,
so
and
keep
I also
that in
wanna,
mind.
I also want to ask you a little bit about the local club here. So, you know, formulate a good story, and and we'll be back.
And
in a
I want to know
minutes.
What you drive.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we want to know.
We got all kinds of stuff for the next segment. Don't you worry.
All righty.
Yeah, and by the way, what's the weather doing back there right now?
Oh, geez.
Snowing?
It's probably. It was flurrying this morning.
Okay.
Like wet, heavy snow. I think we're at a whole whopping 30. Oh, I lied.
There you go.
We're at 29 degrees.
Great.
Oh,
well, hang on.
Enough.
Hang on.
All right, stay right here for more Horsepower Chrome Rust right after these messages.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
City. Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and this week we get a chance to get a real history of the Scroungers Car Club. Welcome to Heather Nicky, a car club rep all the way from Kentucky. And so we were talking on the other side about how it started, how it's expanded, but as I said on the other side, I want to know, what is the benefits of being part of your club? I mean, what are the requirements? What are the benefits? Rather than just hanging out by yourself, if somebody wants to become a member, what talk to us about that.
So if you are close to a chapter, to become a member, we ask that you go through a prospecting stage, and that's up to each individual chapter. We've left that up to them. We have, usually it's like a 30 to 60 day, depending on what time of year it is and how active. We like our members to be active. It's not just to show up once and kind of whatever. Because the biggest benefit to me is that it's more like a family than a car club. There wouldn't be a minute I would hesitate to call one of my club members, you know, if I needed anything.
Give me $100. No, that's not right. That's not what you meant.
No, well, yeah. I mean, they're there. If I needed it, I knew that, you know, and if I was not too humble to ask, that I could ask and somebody would be at my doorstep with whatever I needed. You know, I mean, it's more to my family than my family. I mean, just to be honest about it. But, you know, if, you know, you need a work session, you know, you call up your chapter president and secretary and say, hey, you know, I've got my car has been up on the racks for 2 weeks. You know, I need some help getting this exhaust mounted up, or I need somebody to help me come, you know, time my car in and, you know, whatever. It's like, all right, how's the 15th sound? You know, all right, we'll be at your garage on the 15th at 7 o'clock.
You know,
and
it's
usually everybody shows up with pizza or, you know, that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. That really is the essence of what car clubs started out to be, and I think mm-hmm. still should be. And I'm amazed, to be honest with you, Heather, at how many clubs do not do that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're yeah. in for the gathering, they're in for the cruise, they're in for the show and shine and all of that. But when it mm-hmm. comes to, you know, hey, I kind of, it would be nice if I had some help to do blah, and it's like, yeah, well, you know, we're going over here, and it's hard to get somebody in some of those organizations to come by and help out. And for me, you know, I'm not the greatest mechanic in the world, although I'm devilish at taking stuff apart. I can take it apart all day long.
Like
but,
a champ.
yeah. But, you know, there are things that I'm happy to go to anybody's garage and sit around and, you know, bend wrenches and do what I can. But there's a lot of people who do not kind of do. In fact, I have a friend who says to me directly, he says, I love cars. I'll drive them. I'll own them. I'll do this, but I'm not going to work on them.
Right.
I said, okay,
I know a number of people like that.
Yeah. So how are you helping me now?
Yeah,
you know,
so
I'll work on your car.
Exactly.
So does that mean that people that want to join your organization are going to be mechanically inclined and have a tendency to like to work and help other people on cars?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, there's different types of gearheads. There's people
sure.
that just like to listen to them. You know, there's people who like to go the drag strip, and then there's people who like to drive them, wrench on them, and, you know, build them from the ground up. You know, a lot of people learn by watching. You know, and so if, you know, what we do a lot too is we have, like we had a thing one time, it's called Bubblegum and Baling Wire. It was how to put together, you know, a car or anything.
So you've been to my garage.
Pieces of scrap. Right, exactly. You know, and a lot of people do learn by watching or learn by,
exactly.
you know, direction or
exactly.
by hands-on. You know, so what better way to learn than say, all right, we got this beat-up door. Who wants to come learn how to do some body work?
Sure.
You know,
no, it's exactly right.
Excellent.
That is exactly
excellent.
Right.
You know, so,
well,
I mean, that's kind of the kind of thing that we're based on.
It's a great thing to be based on. I mean, it's clubs should be like that, in my humble opinion. It brings up why I sort of was interested in the first place. I think I told you, Heather, but I'll share with everybody so we're all on the same page. 3 or 4 weeks ago, we went to the Washington State Hot Rod Hall of Fame Awards dinner, and there's, you know, those things in many states, but I went to this one. And while I was there, there were representatives from a lot of different car clubs as part of the thing, and, you know, some people were getting recognized and other people were just there to support and so on and so forth. But there were several guys there in jackets who were part of the Scroungers, and I couldn't get a hold of anybody at the dinner because it was just chaos, and I was trying to hook up with some other people. But that's how I ended up calling Steve and or getting in touch with Steve and finally getting in touch with you. And then I find out, correct me if I'm wrong, that the Seattle chapter of the Scroungers has sort of disbanded or de-emphasized itself. Is that correct?
That's kind of the word that we got. We were, you know, learning that they were taking off pretty good, and it seemed like some guys had some things come up, and they decided to go different ways, and somebody decided they wanted to, you know, start their own thing, and I guess that didn't work either. I'm not really sure. I don't want to.
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to
misquote or whatever, but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that kind of stuff happens. Sometimes you get the guys together, and they're gung-ho, and then, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah. You know, so, it doesn't always happen naturally, and I mean, it's work. You have to work at it. You have to keep
sure.
posting, you know, like what you have coming up, and, you know, hey, we're meeting at this guy's house for burgers, and, you know, burnouts or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and the catchy little phrases, too, about, you know, runs and names of things gets people excited and it brings them in. And
well, I'm a member of two other clubs, and I mean, I know it's a ton of work, and they both have different focuses. So, you know, there's that whole thing. Somebody's kind of got to drive the bus. You know, and I can see where if you had somebody who maybe, you know, their attention got diverted to something else, stuff happens.
Well, in your role as the vice president of international, what is your role? What do you tend to have to be involved with as far as the organization?
Well, I do whatever anybody tells me.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's a perfect job description.
I'm very familiar with motorcycle clubs, and they are run completely very rigid, and where motorcycle ministries, same thing.
A lot of them are,
right.
But do you have, with your chapters, do they have to have special rights to be a part of that? You give them your approval and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, so like I said, you know, if you're close to a chapter, it's a little bit easier. If you're not close to a chapter, we, you know, anybody that's interested or whatever, we have them either contact Steve or myself. We have them look on our Scroungers Car Club Facebook page, and under the files section is our bylaws. And
right.
It's kind of lengthy, I'm not going to lie.
I read it.
But, you know, we ask people to read that, look over it. If they think it's still something that they're interested in, if there's something willing to commit to, if they've got 5 to 6 like-minded buddies, you know, that, you know, or hang out all the time, get together with them, have them read it, see what they think, keep us posted on, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing it. If we see that they're on the track to doing, you know, and following our rules, so to speak, you know, we'll give them the go-ahead, you know.
Sure.
Keep going. And usually we open our books in the winter, so... You know, if we figure if people can keep their clubs together in the winter months.
Yeah, that is a challenge.
You know that they're going to do pretty good in the summertime. So, unless you're in Australia and it's always summertime.
Or Phoenix
like
or something where it's 70
there,
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and like you said, when you be a part of a club, you know, what it takes and what you're looking for. And so we can kind of tell, you know, by if they're posting, if they're not keeping in touch.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff, you know, whether we need to say, you know, hey, you guys haven't stepped up to the game, you know.
Or do you need some help?
Yeah. And then you say, and are you still interested? You know, do you need help? Here's some suggestions. And we usually try to give those suggestions right out the gate.
Sure.
You know, hey, get together in the garage. Have a how to rebuild a carburetor session. Or,
that's always fun.
Those lines, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Heather.
Deflate and reinflate and mount a tire, you know, anything. Yeah. So
Heather, we gotta interrupt here for a minute because Shane really wants to know.
I want to know where the vice president drives.
Oh, my job. Oh. I totally forgot. See,
no, your
squirrel.
Your car.
I want to know what kind of car the vice president drives.
What car? Well, I'm inherited because my husband and I, we have several. We have a 1964 Pontiac Tempest. So when you were talking about a GTO earlier.
Yeah,
I was like, that would be nice. We have a 50 Chevy pickup.
Perfect.
A 49 Studebaker pickup.
Ah.
And then my father, who passed away in February, I inherited a 46 Ford pickup.
Wow.
And a 49 Chevrolet Coupe.
Very nice.
It sounds like someone inherited the bug from dad because not very many fathers are hanging out with that kind of era steel in their possession. So I take it that you have been a long-term car gal. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. That's daddy's girl. In the garage.
There you go.
Well, that's the way it should be.
That's actually.
Hey, by the way, The earlier we mentioned Steve a couple of times. That is Steve Stewart. I want to, you know, give him a shout out here just because he's been so helpful in trying to get this whole
Pumped
segment together.
Up.
Yeah. I'm sure he needs the stroke. But you will find Steve and Heather, and as a matter of fact, on The Scroungers Facebook page, which we are going to link to our Facebook page. We're going to have links on the website and everything like that so that people can kind of know where you guys are at and what's going on. And I encourage you, if you are listening, no matter where you are, to go there and take a look at their bylaws. Yeah, there's a bunch of them, but it's a pretty good way to run a car club, if I can say that without sounding like I'm sucking up.
Well, and I think that's when you join a club. I mean, I just joined Rotary a while back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the amount of responsibility. Oh, what did I get myself into? So I understand what it means when you join a club. There is responsibilities, and it's not for everybody, but for those who have been, what's your longest running club? How long has it been going?
That would be the club or the chapter that I'm in. And I think the name officially switched to Scroungers in the mid-90s.
Oh, wow.
So it's not that old, but, you know, like I said, we're pretty deep-rooted in what we do. And usually the people that join, you know that we've been around here for, you know, 20-some years.
So how involved are you, Heather, I know you have some events and things you do. Do you do charity stuff? Do you do fundraising stuff? Any of that part of the process?
Well, because also another thing that makes us a little different is we don't have dues.
Oh, cool.
We're a no-dues club. So if we used to do some bigger shows and things like that, then it got to the point where it started to be a full-time job, and the people that have full-time jobs are the ones doing it.
Yeah.
So we do, you know, on Christmas time, we do collections for local food banks every once in a while, or homeless shelters, you know, a lot of, like, sanitation needs and things like that.
Right.
Those are things you can't get with food stamps and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, you know, and you know, we help out our club members.
Nice.
So that kind of thing.
Well, that's the kind of stuff that a lot of clubs don't do while they're building, you know, big funds for, you know, some particularly recognized charities that, you know, Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation or something like that. It's nice to help, you know, at the ground level.
You gotta keep your members happy.
Well, that's right. That's that's very important. Because then they show up at the meetings.
And like I said, too, you know, we're not opposed to going, you know, somebody says, hey, you know, my wife has Alzheimer's. There's this big Alzheimer's show coming up, you know, gives money to Alzheimer's.
Right.
Sure, we're in. You know, we give on that level. You know, we'll go donate to that.
Excellent.
What have you got coming up? Anything exciting?
Our last kind of cruise for the season is called our Cold Cruise.
Yeah.
Obvious reasons. Actually, last year and this year, we have a fall colors run and we have a cold cruise. So this year we decided to combine the two because we always miss either the cold weather or the leaves change of color. So this year we miss the leaves change of color because they've fallen off, but it's cold. So this weekend we'll be headed out for, I think it's about maybe about an hour and a half or 2 hour cruise.
Nice.
I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. Shout out to Rabbit Hash.
No, I don't know anything about Kentucky other than coal.
It's kind of a big deal around here.
Very nice.
They just put in a new ferry that goes from Rabbit Hash to Rising Sun, Indiana.
Of course it does.
So we're going to be taking the... Of course it does.
Yeah, where else would it go?
I don't know. So we're going to take that new ferry across the river and then cruise back up the other side.
Super. Just super. Well, Heather, I'm really, really glad that we were able to work this out. We've been kind of fiddling around with timing for the last couple of weeks, but I super enjoyed having you on the show. And just so that everybody's all clear, the Scroungers Car Club is an international club, which you can find out all about by going to the Scroungers Car Club Facebook page. You guys have a website too, yeah?
No.
No website?
Did,
okay.
No,
I couldn't remember. I looked and then I couldn't remember.
So how do you find out about them?
Go to Facebook.
Although that's what I say, they got a Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll go to Facebook and we will.
Oh, okay.
We will link.
Oh, okay.
We just don't have a website, but yeah, we'll link to your Facebook page. We'll make sure that you get all the information. And once the show is edited down and produced, which it will be in mere seconds, by the time you're hearing this, it'll already have been done, and then we'll link that to your page.
The
as well.
Magic of listening to a podcast, it will have already been done.
Done, yes.
Yeah.
Shane, do you enjoy that squeeze ball over there?
I don't even want to know what that is. That's right there.
That's what that is.
Yes, that's for you, for your nerves.
You don't even need to know
anyway,
this.
So I want to say thank you for being on here, Heather. And we're going to say sayonara for the now. And check them out on their Facebook page. We got more coming up right after these few messages. And Brady, of course, has a great story. So hang on.
Oh, I do.
We'll be right back.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of Horsepower Chrome and Rust. We have all kinds of stories from Brady, and he's probably got an interesting one today.
No, it's a really boring story. It's going to be a terrible. Nobody will want to hear this story. No, actually, this is a pretty good one. This one is from Book 2, the Old Car Nut book series. This one is called, oddly enough, The Return of the 32.
Return of the 32.
See, oh. You know it's going to be about a 32. I
mean, yes.
It's safe to say that that's probably. Yes. So Ron Limbrick wrote this story, and David presents it here. There's only a few personal firsts that really stick out in a guy's mind. I'm sure we can all think of at least two. My first car has to rank right up there, very close to the top of my list, and I bet that you feel the same way about your first car. Let me tell you about my memories of my very first car. It was early May of 1955, and spring was just beginning up on the north shore of Lake Superior, which meant that getting around and exploring car lots on your bicycle was the perfect thing to do when you were 1 month away from your all-important 16th birthday. I can remember rolling past Dominion Motors' used car lot, which was just down the street from my house in Fort William, Ontario, where something caught my eye sitting out there in the back row. I immediately recognized what I saw, and I made a beeline to the back of the lot to look. What was sitting before me was all of what all the car magazines were full of in 1955, a 1932 Ford five-window coupe.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. This is what they were talking about. So Fort William, which is now called Thunder Bay, is a world away from San Diego geographically, but for that instance, they were one and the same. My enthusiasm and my inexperience overlooked the many imperfections, and all I saw was the beauty in black. I made my way to the sales office to find out what the asking price was for her. This is going to hurt. After a quick search, I found Mr. Winters, I'm positive that was his name, and he told me that a fine little car was $75.
Oh, my God. Ooh, wow. Of course, what year was this?
1955.
That's a lot of money.
People are having heart attacks now. 75! No time to bargain. I had to get back home and tell my dad about it as fast as I could. It's not every day that you find a 32 coupe for sale for $75. I had all the finances worked out in my head. By the time I burst through the front door, I could sell my outboard motor that wasn't needed anymore. Somebody had stolen the boat that my dad and I had built the year before. I could find a job to pay for the balance. It was all going to work out. I just knew it was. Well, I must have caught my mom and dad on a really good day as the coupe was in our yard by nightfall.
Cool.
I was one very lucky 15-year-old, I wouldn't you say. I remember getting my beginner's permit on my 16th birthday and driving my 32B with its new brushed red paint job. Sure, of course you did. To get my driver's license for the very next day, the tester asked me how many miles I had driven with the beginner's permit, to which I responded, about 15. He said, well, we'd better make that 150. He just changed the thing. He then directed me to drive him around the block and then drop him off at the front door of the vehicle license office, where he said, you're doing just fine. Go and park it. Come in and get your license. Whoa. So as you might expect, I had a great summer learning about cars and driving. However, I was still way too short to pick up chicks. Looking back on it all now, it would have been great to have had an older brother that could have tutored me in Hot Rod 101, as I think I had the jughead jalopy mentality back in those days. With the proper role model looking over my shoulder, I'm sure I could have done a better job. Ah, well. I traded the 32 eventually in on a 40 Ford coupe the next spring. While the 40 was cool, I missed the 32 almost right away. Over the many years that passed, I kept hearing reports that my 32 was still in town, but I could never verify that until very recently, when a friend of a friend gave me a name and a phone number that might lead me somewhere. Sure enough, it did. I called the phone number and I told the lady that answered who I was and why I was calling. She was pleasant. She told me that she knew of the car and its history over the last 50-some years since I had traded it off. At this point, I was sitting in her garage and I had been for many... Oh, it was sitting in her garage and had been for many years. I asked if she'd be interested in selling the car, and she responded with those dreaded words, "The car is not for sale."
Ooh.
So I asked if I could come by and take a look at it, maybe take some pictures. She agreed, so I went over as soon as I could gather my wits and my camera. We had a pleasant time chatting and wandering around the 32, which had been off the road for many years. It had a thick layer of dust, flat tires, and of course, it didn't run. To my eyes, still beautiful. As I left, holding back tears, I let the lady know that I would like to have the 32 back someday, should she ever decide to sell. I could only hope that she would call. 5 years later, about the time I'd figured she probably sold the car to someone else or given up hope on the 32 ever returning to me, I got some unexpected news. One day after coming home and having coffee with some friends, my wife Joan said, "You better listen to the phone messages," which I did. To my surprise, there was a message from the lady who owned the 32 that had let me take the pictures of it those 5 long years ago. She remembered that I'd left her with, "If you ever want to sell it, please call me, as that car sure does mean a lot to me." She told me that she had been saving it for her son, but tragically, he had passed away. Hmm. She asked if I was still interested. A few days passed while she had someone estimate for her what they thought was a fair price, and she contacted me again, and naturally, I accepted, and now my first car will be my last. After selling it once, I cannot fathom selling it again. I mentioned that if I had an older brother to guide me in Hot Rod 101, I wouldn't have had the jughead mentality that I had when I first bought the car at 15. Well, with the 32 returning home after all those years, I just realized that I'm now that older brother. Mm-hmm. And there's pictures of this car and his 40 in the story here. My all-time favorite picture is there's 3 or 4 of them, and it's a nice-looking car. There's a picture of the car on the back of a flatbed truck.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving the lady's house,
right,
and coming to his place. And it's like, what a great, I don't know, you guys can see this, it's very small.
Oh yeah.
It's almost too small to,
wow,
to put on the net. If I took a picture of this and put it on there, it'd be pretty grained out. But that's an excellent segue into why you should buy the old Carnut book number 2, because this story is in there and the pictures are excellent.
And we're going to do some, when we launch in a big way, our refurbished blog website with all of our stuff on it, I'm going to be doing some contests, and I've got a couple old Carnut books that we are going to be doing a drawing for. So
it'll
be involved, getting us, you know, emails and all that kind of stuff.
These are new old Carnut books.
Yes, they're brand new. They have not been manhandled by any stretch of the imagination.
You're right.
And, you know, speaking of hand-painted, I had a buddy, he had a Fiat, and we would have to the starter was gone, so we would he was on a big tall hill, a farm that he lived on with his folks. Started. And we'd push that thing down, and he'd stick it in first gear, kaboom, and it would go off. So anywhere we'd park, we'd have to compression start Skip's Fiat. Well, he got rid of that thing, and then he bought a pickup truck, and he painted it with
a brush.
Some beige paint, and it was hand-painted.
I painted the dashboard of my 1960 Morris Minor with a brush
because
it was all dinged up, and I don't know why, but I needed it to be black. It was kind of a weird putty blue. And I needed it to be black, so I brush painted it black. I was very careful.
That's a very common practice.
Well,
do with what you got.
That's right.
That's right. Well, I didn't want to go through the trouble of masking everything off. That would have been way too much work. So I could brush paint it, and I could be real careful with it. So Shane is over there, you know, holding back vomit. I think because he's like you didn't Oh yes, I did.
That's okay. It's
only because Shane knows actually how to paint a car.
Right.
Well, and
the
I don't.
We do.
Anytime you need some trim and you know touch up down there, just give me a call. I'll come. I still got the brushes. I can come.
Perfect.
Well, I wanted to cover something real quick here. I think we live in a very unique time,
we
live in a rebirth of the muscle car era.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the 2019 Audi R8 is a perfect example. It's what they call their supercar. It is completely updated with a brand new front end working feature, wider grille surrounded by a frame that underlines the headlights, features three slots under the hood, inspired the original Quattro.
Well, and this is a real car.
This is a
not
real
a
car.
Like the GTO.
It features a 5.2 normally aspirated V10 kicking out 562 horsepower.
A V10.
Wow.
You got to love it.
That thing's great.
It's a Viper.
406
yeah.
pounds
Viper.
Of torque. And that thing is a lot smaller than the Challenger. That thing's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
what's
then,
it weigh? Does it say what it weighs?
No, it doesn't. It does top speed, though, of a little over 200 miles an hour.
I'm thinking 3,200 pounds.
Yeah.
It can't be more than that.
Yeah. And
that's exciting.
That is exciting. I'd love to take that for a test ride.
Stay right here for more Horsepower Chrome Rust and this week's trivia question.
And it's trivial.
It's trivial?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
All right. Trivia.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand. Help us if you can.
Help him. Please help him. He's an El Camino man.
Hey, I resemble
Won't you
that.
Help? There is a cure.
You resemble that? What was that?
It's the fifth and final segment of the show. Oh, yes, it is Around the Wheel. And you know what? Every week, we do some sort of trivia question that tests the automotive knowledge of our respective audience and our disrespective audience.
Which continues to grow one person at a time.
One person at a time, it's true.
We're up to four.
But yeah, that's right. Well, Mom's listening, so it's five.
Finally.
Now. But yeah, so last week, I asked kind of an odd question. It was something that was going to require some Google searching or, you know, an extra brain cell or two. And the question was, what American luxury automaker began its journey by making cages for birds and reptiles? And
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
was it Cadillac?
No. No, see, that's the best part about it. Cages for birds and reptiles. And this is a luxury car now. Can Cadillac, of course, that would qualify, but no. And
more luxury than that's American made.
Mm. Yep, American made. Nobody, you guys don't know. Well,
Lincoln?
Kirk Winters knew. Kirk is in Pedernales, Texas. I don't know why. Well, I don't know what they're drinking down there in Pedernales, but he knew, and he sent me a message through Facebook. He says, I'm pretty sure that it was the Pierce company, Pierce
wow.
Arrow. You see, Pierce Arrow wasn't together. Originally, it was the Pierce yes. Motor Cars. The George, George N, as in Nerville, Pierce, Buffalo, New York, they started out making the Pierce Arrow, of course. They made ice boxes and cages for animals.
Excellent. Mm.
And they had a factory all set up to do that, and then they decided one day that, you know what, we should make a car. But let's not just make any old car. Let's make a luxury car.
Yes. And boy, was that a beautiful car.
Pierce Arrows were great cars, sure, fascinating.
But, you know,
The one that they did here, the one that they put up on the page, this is one of the original old... You like open cars.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
It's like a buggy with
high
wheels.
Buggy,
and this
right.
is an old one. This is probably 1903 or 2 or something.
Probably looks like what, you know, one of the original Boeing planes, because you know Boeing, you know what they started out making, right?
Sure.
Cabbages?
That's right.
No, chairs.
Yeah.
Chairs.
They were a carpentry shop.
Yep. Yeah. So Kirk Winters wins the bucket of barn fine dust, which, of course, is coveted and highly sought after from, shore to shore. And... thanks to Kirk for even paying attention to this, because it's probably the silliest feature of the entire show. But I got another one for next week. Oh, this is going to get you. Everybody knows about convertibles. They've been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? They weren't originally called convertibles.
They were not.
No, they were not. And there was a car that was very first one to be referred to as a convertible.
Oh, wow.
What was the car that was the very first actual named a convertible? Because before that, they were just open cars.
Right.
Yeah. So what was it? If you know, you can get with us on Facebook. You can send me a Facebook Messenger, personal message. You could send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. And if you do, you too, yes, you too, can have your very own simulcast copy of a bucket of barn fine dust, which Shane is pictured on our Facebook page holding as used car salesman a pose as ever I have seen in my life.
Well, if you think about it, cars came from the buckboards. In buckboards, you had the open and the closed. You had the Surrey on top.
And the covered wagon.
And the covered wagon with the Surrey on top.
Yeah.
And then
canopy.
You had them open.
Yeah.
And so... I think they did the same thing with the first automobiles.
I have the picture of this thing here, and it's very, very cool, and it's bright yellow.
Wow.
So, yeah. Henry Ford was the guy that said you can have any color you want as long as it's black. Other companies had color. You could get, so this one is a good one. And again, if you know, just get with us on Facebook, and you too might have that.
Pigmented paint used in automobile might be a kind of interesting investigation.
It could be. Well, that's our cue to hit the gas until next week. I want to thank Heather Nikki from the Scroungers Car Club for stopping by and saying hi. Thanks for liking and following our Facebook page and our website. Please do that if you haven't already. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johan, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.